Hello and welcome to the PE Team Podcast. We are back after, I think, 4 years, is that right?
It has been quite some time. 4 years.
4 years ago. We started this podcast to try and help out our BTEC national students, GCSE PE students. And then we went on a 4 year hiatus for some reason.
Just been a bit busy, I think.
Yeah.
There's been a lot going on. You are, of course, with me, Mr. Southwell. Mr. Doyle, good morning.
Hello, everybody.
And Mr. Nash as well.
Hello, good morning.
It's probably a good idea to address the state of the nation at the moment. How are we all getting on in what is like almost a bit of a mini lockdown that we're going through?
Well, I think we're back for a reason, aren't we? Trying to put out some content there because we're all at home and we can't really get out there and do the things that we'd like to do at the moment, can we?
No, it's crazy times. It's been, obviously, never experienced anything like this and probably won't again, hopefully, in our lifetime, hopefully, where we're all locked away and having to make the most of what we can. And I think the internet, obviously, is a gift at the moment. The fact we can still do this where the three of us are not together, but we can use online to be able to record our podcast, I think it's brilliant.
It's unprecedented. I've never known anything like what we're sort of seeing at the moment. And it is genuinely very, very quiet out on the streets at the moment, which is really, really unsettling in some ways. It's been a really odd time.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things and the reasons why we're doing this is that the students and the parents and the teachers are all in the same boat. It's not something that is being directed at young people at the moment. Yeah. This is something that we're all having to deal with. I think the biggest thing to say is we are all at home. We have all been at home. And we're all following all the directives because the same as everybody else, that's all that we know is going to hopefully make the country better at this point in time.
It's very, very odd times. And I think what we'll try and do is we'll keep this going as often as we can. I think if we try and aim for like once a week, we will. But obviously it depends on how everything goes that we'll go from there. Let's kick off, really. What have you been doing to keep active?
Well, I'll start off. So I've got two small children, a four-year-old and a five-year-old. And I think the best thing that came out of it to start with was straight away, the amount of educators and the amount of people around the world that decided that they were going to go and put content online and share and try to help out those young people that are in a new situation homeschooling is fantastic. And Joe Wicks is the first one, I think, who has been out there every single day. He's committed to doing being the nation's PE teacher, is how he's selling it. And he's going for a half an hour circuit every single morning throughout the duration of this crisis and while the schools are shut. So every morning, with the exception of Thursday, there is something to be said about recovery, of course, in all of this, particularly with sort of with the joints and the dynamic movements that he's doing. We've been doing that, and also we've been using government guidelines here to go out, and each of the members of the family have been having their hour outside, especially while the weather's been good.
I think Joe Riggs has been fantastic. I think the idea of having that everyday circuit that people can just get involved with. I am disappointed to hear how weak you were to have a day off, because I'm 5 days on, and those 5 days have been brutal. My legs are feeling it, but, you know, I'm soldiering on, unlike yourself, who's decided to take that day off. I think there's lots of different things that people could be doing to stay active. Like you said, you've got that daily dose of exercise. You're welcome to go for a walk around your area and so on. But there's lots of things in the house as well that, you know, people could do to get some exercise. And I'm sure the parents of children out there would appreciate someone picking up the Hoover and get moving around the house doing that. Get out in the garden, cut the lawn, things like that. There's lots of different things that can go on that will keep people active.
There's loads happening. I straight away went for like mowing the lawn and getting that out of the way as quick as possible. And I thought initially this was going to be a great opportunity to go and play a lot of like twilight golf and just go out. And even if it was playing on your own, just going out and doing it. That extra restriction we've had on us as a country has kind of put that to bed a bit. So I've already got a confession to make, and I've made an investment in an outdoor golf net to put up in my garden.
Nice, love that.
So that'll be me, really. That'll be the one.
And I've been using the Ring Fit Adventure on the Nintendo Switch, which I think is a brilliant little device to get people active at home. Sort of builds upon the old Wii Fit that we used to have. with the balance board and things, but the idea of having that ring to create some resistance, to do lots of different exercises has been absolutely brilliant. And all my kids play it as well. So I think those sorts of things are great at home, just to get everyone active.
Do you think everyone will stick with the like the new influx of joggers and cyclists we've seen?
Well, that's one point I want to make. I think the best thing that can come out of this, and you've always got to look at the positives, is the people are taking physical activity really, really seriously at the minute. More people than you would expect. I think there's various reasons for it. First one is, I suppose, people want to make sure that their bodies are healthy, because if they do contract this virus, you've got that position of being able to say, all right, well, I'm healthier than I would ordinarily have been, so maybe my body's going to be able to fight it better. But you've also got that point where you take for granted just being outside and being active and being able to walk to the places that you want to go to. And when it's restricted and taken away from you, it's almost like you want it more. So that's that. In answer to your question is, I think us as people that are involved in the industry have to make a really big push to build on the fact this is what got people through it. And hopefully when we're at the other side, we won't just go back to sedentary lifestyles, and they'll realise just how important it is to people.
I mean, that mental health and well-being, for people realising that little bit of physical activity is essential. And it's great to see so many people offering online classes that people have signed up to before. You know, they've signed up to gyms and things, and these gyms have been putting activities together. They can join a circuit class. I've heard of people doing online Zumba. I think that's great. And everyone's sort of realising that little bit of time each day sets you up with your energy levels, with your feelings, your emotions, just by making sure you've done something to get you active.
I think that's going to be massive, and I'm somebody who gets bored very easily, and I can become annoying very quickly as well if I don't have something to do.
Not at all, Mr. Southwell.
So, don't worry. You spoke about mental health. One of the next things on our rundown was to talk about that, almost an explosion of understanding mental health. So, do you think this is going to be one of the positives to come out of what's happened in the country?
It's got to be. As people in the school know, this is something that in the PE team we've been really trying to push over the last 2 or 3 years. But it's always been clinically proven, but it's been harder for people to actually take it on board and use it. Exercise is almost it can be like a pill, like a medicine for the brain. The release and stimulation of hormones, endorphins, dopamine, serotonin and things like that, that are naturally occurring, but that explosion of what happens when you go out and you get your heart rate up, when you start exercising, get your heart rate up, those things start flowing around the body, and they make people feel happier, they make people feel more motivated, they make those feelings of kind of success throughout the day, those little goals that you've achieved, they all happen more through exercise. So for those people that are struggling at home at the moment and things like that, just understanding that an active body leads to an active mind and a healthier person overall, I think people are starting to get it, and it's enormous, and we need to push it. We need to get people to understand that more.
It's so important just to kind of take the mind off it for as much as possible. Even if you're not really directly affected by what's going on, you can't help but like watch the news and constantly check sort of online about what's going on. You do need to kind of like detox from that a little bit.
100%.
It's like any of these global news things that have happened. I'm just gripped by what's going on. You're looking for breaking news every single day. It does feel like a football transfer window, deadline day.
Yeah, but and like, it's on everything, isn't it?
But like every single day, it's been mad, really.
I think the biggest thing to note in terms of the practicalities of it, how people will realise is, when you go for a run, when you go for a jog, when you go and play football, round of golf, whatever, I challenge anybody to say that they don't feel something positive afterwards. Something about them that feels like they've accomplished something, they feel a little bit better. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer for that feeling to come about.
Yeah.
But the whole point is that actually that feeling of accomplishment is real, and it is because of those chemicals that are stimulated through the mind. And the more you do, the better those feelings become, and overall, the more mentally healthy people can become because of it.
I think that's a really good point, and it's really important to have some of those ideas as well about what to do. So, Mr. Nash, you're going to talk a bit about some of those things that we can do without necessarily having to go outside at the moment.
What we mean with regards to different activities at home we touched upon?
I think so, yeah.
So Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
So I think I touched upon it briefly. The idea is that, obviously, there's lots of things you can do at home. You don't have to basically follow anyone else's. You can set up your own little circuits in a very minimal amount of space. You don't have to be following Joe Wicks if you don't like the fact that you've got to tune in at a certain time. But those things are great for having ideas on different things you can create. What I like about the fact that Joe Wicks has been doing is you just take any movement. If you move vigorously enough, then you're going to be burning calories and you're going to be exercising and you're going to get the benefits of it. So it doesn't have to be, you know, all singing, all dancing. Like we said about the fact that just getting around your house and, you know, doing some cleaning for your mum and dad and just helping out that house and just making sure things are done, that's going to get you moving about. Getting outside in the garden, you know, in the garden, getting a ball, kicking a ball around, throwing it against the wall, any sort of movements are going to get you the exercise benefits that we've talked about and touched upon.
I think I'd love to see you kicking a ball around in the garden.
I can't kick a ball. I can only throw in cash.
I'd love to see that.
I think, Mr. South, well, obviously, if you're in a position like yourself, quite a keen golfer and in an ability to go and get yourself a net and things like that, absolutely fantastic. And really, people are using those big bits of equipment if they've got a treadmill at home or if they've got a trampoline. But it's the other side of things as well. If you don't have a set of weights or dumbbells and you're in a position to be able to do that, then it's tins of beans, isn't it? It's things that you've got in your cupboard and around the house that you'll be able to sort of use as makeshift exercise. Yesterday, I'll give you an example. We used a little space. We're in a set of flats and we've got a shared garden. So we just cordoned a little section off outside our flat and I put down some pots, pans and some jugs to use as cones. And we're fortunate enough to have a couple of little footballs. And I did a little football session outside with the kiddies. But we were in and out of some of our household utensils rather than anything else. And it doesn't matter.
No, I think that's good. And it is about just being a bit creative and trying to do things about the ordinary. Because now you've got a lot of people who've got all of their family at home during the day, which is quite odd for a lot of people because you've got people that are off work, obviously, as well at the moment. What about some of those things that we think are safe to do at the moment?
I think in terms of safety, the biggest thing that we need to start off with there is we need to keep and maintain those guidelines that we've all been given. So when we go out, we are allowed to do 1 hour of exercise outside. You're allowed to do that with the people in your household. So we can't say family, because if they're living away, then that's not something that we should be mixing with. So people in your household, 1 hour a day. You can walk, you can cycle, you can jog. It's not safe, unfortunately, at the minute, to go into the playgrounds. Because everybody that touches the fence, puts something into the bin, touches the slide and things like that, you're obviously then passing on the risk of spreading this thing. But if you've got a local space, a park, or if you've got, you know, an area that's safe to go and have a jog in Milton Keynes, those redways and things like that, then as long as you keep that 2 metre distance from the people that are around you, then you are doing your bit to stay safe. And I think that's the overall kind of message to do. I don't know how you fellas feel about it, but as far as I've interpreted the guidelines, that as it stands, going out into the local park and maybe throwing a frisbee around with those people in your household and sort of having a kick around is probably not the thing to do at this point in time.
I don't think so, just because of the message it sends, and you sort of starting to hear now the police are rightly out and about, really checking on people, what they're doing, and it just gives that sort of wrong impression. I watch the news on the weekend, you can see people sort of sunbathing in London. And you think, that's not really what we're supposed to be doing at this time.
No, not at all.
It's not nice for the people who are really trying to be strong and staying indoors. And, you know, to see that and see that people are kind of going, well, you know, I'm keeping my 2 metres. That's fine. But if everybody decided to go and do that at that point in time, then it would be impossible to keep those 2 metres. So I think it's important that everybody realises they've got a bit of a responsibility to others as well. If we've got to stick indoors, everybody should be sticking indoors unless it's essential to be going out.
How hard is social distancing anyway?
It's not easy, is it?
It's really tough. Like, you just by nature, like 2 metre thing's really hard to do. I think some of the shops are doing a really good job of it.
Yeah, they've put down tape, haven't they, now, to keep people apart and to send them around various areas of the shop in a particular way so that they don't mix and things like that. But it's not easy, is it?
No, it's not at all.
Let's talk about sort of the professional side of sport, really. When do you guys think everything will be back to normal? When do you think we'll see competitions up and running? Because at the minute, if you look at what we've lost so far, obviously the biggest one at the minute is the Olympic Games. They're obviously gone. We've lost the football championships in the summer. You've lost all of professional sport at the moment. It's kind of on hold. The Football Association have said they're going to shut off low league football and just cancel the seasons altogether. Have you got any sort of predictions of when you think it will be back up and running again?
I think we will see, hopefully, fingers crossed, some sort of live sport either at the back end of the summer or creeping into September. Hopefully that sort of the new seasons can progress from that point. I don't know what you guys think.
I probably agree with timescale. I don't know whether we're going to see games behind closed doors for the early parts of what would be next season or so. Just want to backtrack a little bit. You made a good point there, Mr. Southwell, about the Olympics. A question to ask for you two. They really, really did not want to cancel the Olympics, although everything else seems to have gone very quickly. They were really hesitant on that one, and I feel as though actually, the question is, what do you think it was that actually made them finally, in the end, say, right, we've got to cut our losses? Because from 1 week to the end of the week, they were saying, we're definitely not cancelling it yet, and then suddenly it went. What do you guys think the pressure was there for them to do that?
I honestly think that you got a couple of the powerhouses in sports saying they weren't going to send athletes. I know Canada said they weren't going to send anybody, and then I think American, the track team for definite, said they didn't want to send anybody to Olympic Games. And then obviously you got Seb Coe as well, who obviously brought 2012 kind of to London, all saying the same thing. I think it was just that weight of pressure, because otherwise you might have seen a skeleton Olympic Games, which would have been unreal.
I think the reason why they were so strong in the first place on not cancelling that straight away is that the Olympic Games, you know, originally were running, you know, thousands of years ago, but they've been running for way over 100 years. And in terms of this being the first time that it hasn't taken place, you know, it's unprecedented that they would move it. During wartime, I believe there was one Olympics that had to be cancelled, but they've never had to postpone it before. This is the first time. So I think they were really hesitant, but I agree with you. I think the pressure from the athletes not putting themselves in a position where they've got to be out training, maybe mixing with coaches and things like that. They want to do the right thing by the country as well, don't they?
Well, it's a huge event, which is the other one, which makes it really tough as well. I think the other thing, going back to the sort of professional sports side of things, Mr. Nash, we all know that you're a well-renowned Everton fan. But obviously, you don't really have an allegiance in football. If you were in charge of sport and maybe like pressing the button on a decision, what would you do with the current football season? Would you scrap it, or would you try and finish it off later in the year?
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it? Am I right in thinking about football that Liverpool are on track to win the league? Is that right?
Yeah, technically your biggest rivals. Yeah.
Years.
So, and that, they haven't been in that position for many a seasons, am I right in that as well?
Yeah, 30 years.
30 years, so wow, that's quite a few seasons. And so I'm showing you my football knowledge here. And so those fans and that team must be absolutely, you know, devastating the fact that they're going to have their best finish in as many, you know, 30 years, and then suddenly the season's finished. Surely they're going to want to finish that season in some way. I don't know how, you know, if that's possible to work out. You know, based on where we're at right now, could there be an average worked out and then that person wins the league? Or are they going to have to finish those games? Or are they going to have to play a reduced season in next season and sort of finish off this season at the start and then play the rest? I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in that position, hence I'm not interested in football in the slightest.
It's going to be, I think that's going to be one of the biggest questions to be answered coming out of everything that's going on. Because you've got a lot of people that go and watch football and they're going to want to know what the outcome is. And I think there'll be a knock-on effect from that to whatever else happens in all the different sports as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
there's a lot of money riding on it. So if you're a Bournemouth or a Watford or, you know, one of those teams that are on the cusp of relegation, or perhaps, you know, a Bristol City or a Fulham or someone like that in the Championship,
yeah,
that is worth so much money for those teams that if you just missed out or you just went down, then that's going to cause a major issue. And if you think about it, you know, is it fair, and will there be legal challenges to follow? Will they be able to start the next season? I have a feeling they're going to have to finish it some way, and it might be that they have to maybe readjust when the season runs.
Yeah, because you could end up with a scenario where you see Premier League football being played in, like, right in the middle of June, July, August. That, as a spectator, that would be, I'd be all over that, because I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when it gets back round to, like, Christmas, having the football on over the festive period or the sport on is one of the best things going. So to miss that would be really odd.
So I say start your next season with the junior team as your first team, and let the first team finish off the last season.
Just put the under-18s out.
So Nash, if we were to talk about rugby in this way, you'd be Devo. Come on.
Oh, it's good banter.
I've got to say, it is the biggest thing of that is one of the biggest things I'm missing, because I will watch anything live, and not being able to see any of that at all is horrible.
That was the first thing, let's be honest. When schools had to finish, obviously, we hark back to, you know, stop the days and summer holidays and things like that. And although we knew we'd be working, you know, getting that time at home is nice. And during that time, you get to watch lots and lots of sport on TV. And I suppose that was the biggest thing. We're going back home to stay at home, but there isn't any of these live events to be able to watch. And it just takes away one of those really, really important things in people's lives. And again, it takes these things being taken away from us for us to realise we shouldn't take them for granted. You know, they're put on, they cost lots of money to be put on. We want to embrace them maybe a little bit more than we do when they are back.
I also think there's all positives that come from everything. And Mr. Southall, I know that, you know, the money you're saving at the moment from your Sky subscription for your sport, you'll be investing that into Disney Plus, because we know you love a princess film. And that's, you know, there's always a positive.
You've got no chance of that happening at all.
I might have invested in Disney Plus last night, bit of live action Aladdin for the first time. We've all got to adjust, guys. We've all got to adjust.
So, what's your prediction then for live sport back on TV, the first televised live event? What date do you think it will be?
I'm going to go for September the 1st, in and around. You know, sometime that. But my prediction is that the first set of live events will be behind closed doors.
I think.
I would say a bit earlier.
You think a bit earlier. Go on.
I'm going to say middle of August.
Oh. Okay. What do you think that first event will be?
Probably football, because everyone loves it.
I think we have an outside chance of potentially at a start of August Wimbledon.
Ooh. Okay.
Because
I think, what about the Ryder Cup, Mr. Southall?
Well. Ooh. The Wimbledon thing, I think they'll be able to, they can move that quite easily, because other majors have been moved already. The Ryder Cup, they have delayed that before by a year. Going back to back in a Ryder Cup is not easy, but I think they could move that one they could move that pretty easily, because it's technically the off season for golf.
And so also, which month does the Ryder Cup take place in?
September ish. This year it's in America, but in 2 years' time it would have been it'd be Italy. So they'd have to go back to back, which would be interesting.
Perhaps with America kind of escalating in terms of how bad things are getting there, then perhaps it would be unlikely. But you kind of think that there's going to be some sports that might be able to start a little bit earlier, those that are heavily non-contact sports.
Yeah, golf is a good shout.
They were going to play that behind closed doors and then didn't. And I think you could have...
Closed the doors on the golf course.
That's a great shout. That's a great shout. But they could have done something really entertaining for the viewer. They could have had no spectators, but mic'd the players up so you could hear what they were saying. And that would get people watching all the time. But they've just decided to go for it. I can see why as well, because obviously you've got other people there that still need to be at the golf course. I get that.
Yeah, I can at the moment, but perhaps that might be where we do start to see things creep in again.
Yeah.
That might be where we're at to start with, those kinds of things behind closed doors. sort of adapting the events to make it more entertaining. And blimey, that, you know, that'd be if you're sitting at home going, oh my goodness me, there's going to be some sport going on, you know, in the next week. It will just lift everyone's spirits, won't it?
It'll be a good opportunity to put a sport that's not really got the limelight as the first thing that goes out live.
Yeah.
Because everybody will watch it.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool to see, which would be good. Shall we finish off? Let's try and bring it back to education a bit. What's the best way to learn whilst you're off?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, we're put in a different situation here now where I, as a teacher, am trying to provide as much opportunity for students to have some work to do from home whilst also at the same time and often at the same table trying to then educate the two small ones that we have at home. First thing to understand is it's not the same. It's not going to be a school day. That's one big thing to understand, I think.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same as a school day. I mean, my own children have been similar in that respect. They've been trying to, my eldest has been trying to almost replicate her timetable that she would have at school with her home learning, and explaining to her that you can't necessarily have to follow that rigidly. You've got lots of different tasks to do. You've got things you can do. There's lots of other things you can be doing that counts as learning, that you don't have to sit at a computer and just spend as much time as you like on the, you know, the virtual learning environment, or, you know, on Ed Lounge or whatever it might be. You've got lots of different things you can be doing. There's some really great, for one, you know, documentaries. We live in an era where children nowadays learn, I think, mostly from videos, from images, because that's what they see all the time in their everyday lives with social media and everything else like that. That's what gets them caught. So spending some time watching something on TV, a documentary about whatever it might be, can be really powerful and useful in itself.
I do like the documentary side of things. I think that's really useful. We've got to make use of all this technology whilst we've got it. Get out in the garden, go and explore around the garden, all those sorts of things. Learn a new skill, like something like that.
Yeah, really good. Absolutely.
There's lots of people, like sports people you follow online, they're trying to like learn an instrument or pick up like a language.
Yeah. I've cut my own hair.
Yes, yeah. Quite dramatic
as well. You've definitely joined the dark side of having very short hair now, Mr. Nash. I think it looks fantastic.
There's plenty to do.
I think biggest thing, couple of tips, I suppose. First of all, when you are looking to try to make sure that you are able to concentrate on work, find yourself a spot. It's very similar to homework, isn't it? Find yourself a spot, make sure that it's away from TV, maybe pop your phone away somewhere else for a little while, and then just concentrate on that particular spot. Make sure that you set yourself small, attainable goals. It might be that those goals aren't something that's, if somebody set you on Go for Schools, for example, a 60 minutes or 120 minutes to complete this, don't feel pressured into doing that all at the same time or get it completed. It might be that you break it down into smaller chunks, and hopefully your teachers are giving you a little bit of time to do that over the course of a week or something. And also one big thing, it might be controversial, but give yourself an Easter holidays as well. Only do the amount of work that you would ordinarily be expected to do over those 2 weeks, without having to try to replicate that timetable throughout those times as well. You know, you did start the year by going into school and learning, and then you're having to adjust. And then, of course, you know, this new way of going. Those Easter holidays, unless you're the child of a key worker and you need to be in school, then try to utilise that time to be at home and do the things that you would do during those holidays, and hopefully spend some family time.
I also think that, this is only my personal opinion, that we might have, hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, a different set of students coming back to school that might appreciate the time that teachers put into education, and appreciate putting into all the time it takes to prepare lessons and so on. So, you know, we might have a whole different group of students that come back, ones that really love being at school.
Everybody's going to have a new appreciation, I think, for pretty much everything, because when you have it even like restricted, it's very, very tough to be able to cope with it. And obviously we'll see how that progresses over the next few weeks.
Indeed.
I think that's probably about as much as we're going to get to today. We'll try and do this again, maybe next week, depending on the schedule for work for us as well. We've done that, obviously, over an online video. So that's not a bad effort for a first go in 4 years.
No, that's good, guys.
Really like doing that, thank you.
It's all good. And we're going to see if anybody was actually listening to the podcast. If you've listened all the way through, you need to comment Badger on the PE team's Twitter underneath the podcast. And hopefully we'll see you in a week or so.
Brilliant.
Do you want to let people know where they can sort of get this, different platforms and things?
I assumed we already had thousands of subscribers already.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Hopefully so.
Anywhere that you get your podcast from. So if it's on iTunes, you can just search for it, SBEP Team Podcast. We'll put a link out as well on our Twitter page as well, so you can go and find it there. And we'll see you next week.
See you later, guys. Good
Bye,
talk.
Guys. Stay safe.